Welcome to the Companion Chapel Everyday Bible Study Broadcast. My name is Mike, coming to you from the Great Lakes area of beautiful Ontario, Canada, on this gorgeous Wednesday, March 6, 2024. Coming right up, it is the rest of Acts chapter 19. You don't want to miss this. I don't think I did a good enough job explaining the exorcism that they tried to pull on Jesus Christ. I think I missed a key word there. We have the exorcists here in chapter 19, and then only in the manuscripts. The English argument of the Bible is pointless. It wasn't written in English. So go back to the manuscripts and you find that word exorcism again. And it's in Matthew chapter 26. What did they try to do to the Lord Jesus Christ? And furthermore, we have these words that link all this together, who they were. And of course, these words we're going to discuss today, which are all the same. Busybodies, curious arts, and vagabonds. You don't want to miss this one. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 19, and let's get right down into this. Please first consider your part in the many-member body of Christ. The Companion Chapel is a registered nonprofit ministry. Go to companionchapel.com. Help keep these podcasts alive. These podcasts are only possible through your provisions. Thank you so much to the people that have been providing provisions to help spread the message of Christ's love out to a hurting world. And for $10 or more, if you leave your address, I'll send you one of these in an envelope. And aren't these just the greatest things? You'll hang this from the mirror of your pickup truck or put it with your favorite things. It's the most powerful symbol in the universe, with the most selfless act of love and compassion the universe has ever witnessed. Calvary on the cross, the crowning point of Christianity, where prophecy became in accordance with the word of God, in accordance with reality. It is done, Jesus Christ said in John 19:30. It is done. Death has been defeated. The doors to the ministry of salvation are opened. I am your Savior, your salvation, your deliverer, your redeemer. I lay down my life for your life. The most selfless act of love and compassion. Here we go. Let's help get the message of Christ's love out to a hurting world. Companionchapel.com. And please, these emails are important to me. These emails are so important to keep me going. Just to say hi, to let me know you're out there. From Ireland, I can see you're listening or watching. From Namibia, Africa. From all over the United States, we're talking California, Florida, up through New York. I mean, everywhere. The emails mean something to me. I don't know what's up with Canadians, because I'm a Canadian. Either this podcast is getting censored or something, but there's hardly any Canadians at all. But if you're a Canadian, give me an email, companionchapel@gmail.com. It really helps just to let me know that you're out there. And it keeps me going. It keeps me motivated. I do this full time, studying from the manuscripts through the lexicons, out through any English version you prefer. So let's go to this. So we had these people here, and they were exorcists, vagabond Jews, exorcists. This is so much is said right there. And we go to Matthew 26. Well, first we'll finish this verse, Acts chapter 19, 13. And they say, we adjure you by Jesus who Paul preaches. You notice these name droppers that we have now. Name droppers all around us today. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. Show me your works. I will see your faith as it's written in the book of James. Let's open the Bible together. Instead of trying to gain trust through false pretenses, we're talking about people trying to gain trust. They walk amongst us. And when you look at certain statistics of certain absolutely morally corrupt things, like I've just been blown away recently by pornography statistics. And the reason I can dog it and point, I'm not pointing fingers, I take that back, point out things like this, is because I walked it myself. And so Jesus Christ was always there. Are you done chasing your vain curiosities? Are you done? Everything that you chase just leads to escalation, always ends up disappointment, failure, mortification of the soul. Dude, you almost died, little Mikey here. How many times have you been brought back to life by medical intervention? You're living on borrowed time. I give it up for the Lord Jesus Christ. These vagabonds walking amongst us. Okay, I got off track there, but like as we're talking right now, over 28,000 people in the last second have logged on to porn, and you're probably the only one watching this. What do you think God's looking and saying, well, look at these people? And the rest of the two-thirds of the angels that did not fall. What do you think? These people can't come back. Look, they're morally corrupt. And morals is on the individual. Individual thought patterns. We're talking about individual. It's your spirit. That's your intellect. People say, I'm not spiritual. Spiritual in the Bible just means your intellect. The intellect of your soul. That's your spirit. That's your governing index of inward thoughts, feelings, intentions, which lead to actions. And when they lead to actions, you get a bunch of people acting just like you. They say, I believe in myself. Where did you get that from? 1980s. daytime talk shows, started pumping that out. Believe in yourself and you can do great things. Whatever logical and moral decisions you make, ding, should be the gold standard in society. You believe in yourself. And you just change the standards for whatever's convenient for you. No consistent thought pattern whatsoever. Mankind's bound by the principles of being human. We have inconsistent thought patterns. That leads to unprincipled beliefs. That leads to ethical indictment of human values. Look at how it's playing out on the world stage today. Morally corrupt people form ethically corrupt governmental standards, institutional standards. Isn't that just something that God's letting us know? You can't govern yourselves. You can't govern yourselves. You need me to govern you. Okay, and I'll love you to pieces. I'll take care of you. And the people that don't want God, that believe in themselves, my ideologies should be the gold standard. I'm like one of these vagabonds. I practice the curious arts of watching TV and watching whatever the screen tells me to think, say, and do. As long as they give me something simple, like a catchphrase. Like the greatest one recently, and the most disappointing one, was obviously, I trust the science. Wow, four words there. Good, way to go. These people are geniuses. They're playing you like a cheap guitar. I trust the science. As soon as you say, well, you know, what scientific journals have you been reading? Have you been reading the International Journal of Infectious Disease, Science Immunology? Do you have an account with Science Direct? I have one with Science Direct, ResearchGate, National Institute of Health's Public Library. Let's have a talk here. Let's discuss. Where did you come to that conclusion that you can sit there on your moral high horse and look down at me and say, I trust the science? And these curious arts, these vagabonds, these people are highly motivated, extremely intelligent. They know what psychological warfare is, and they have trillions of dollars at their disposal to reduce your ability to think critically or independently. It's the saddest thing. I pray for everybody. And then what they do, if someone's asking you about the science, well, you have to villainize that person, shame them, insult them. You're anti-science, Mikey? You little rotten teeth bugger? You little urchin? I just want to talk about things, man. Let's just talk about things. Let's think about things before we make a decision. Before we go do this, roll up your sleeve for these, I'd call it organized crime, since they paid $30 billion in criminal penalties since 2009 for defrauding the regulators, falsifying the science, lying to the public, lying to doctors. The list goes on. Lobbying and Congress, right? System that does not work. No. You. I'm on my moral high horse, Michael. You are selfish. You are selfish. Good one. A few extra syllables, but only three words. That was a good one to memorize. Good one. Conspiracy theorist. Four syllables, but two words. Good one to rememorize. Memorize. Anyway, we're talking about the same people. These are the same people. They walk amongst us to gain trust by putting on a big show. Watch this come together here. That wasn't just a off-the-cuff rant. Okay, so here we have them. In Matthew 26, we'll go there just quickly. Look at these people putting on a big show. Busybodies. Okay, we'll go over this word. Useless matters while putting on a big religious show. They're the vagabonds. It's the same word. In the Strong's Concordance, this is word 420, 421, 422. Busybodies. And in 2 Thessalonians 3:11. Busybodies, going about. Useless matters while putting on a big religious show. The adjective. Okay, I'll try and pronounce these words. Periergazomai. And periergagos. Translated curious arts and busybody. So curious arts and busybody. Oh, we got a little grammar going here. Remember, grammar in the original language manuscripts, verbs, adjectives, and nouns are extremely flexible. We have trait nouns. Here's another trait noun. Perikome. 420, 421, 422 in the Strong's Concordance is vagabonds. It means to wander about. They're all built the same. It's all descriptive terms. Emphasizing. Descriptive context of the biblical usage of these related words. And we can see the thread forming here. Okay, go back to vagabonds. That was the first time in the Bible. The curse on Cain. These people, what did they do? Follow Cain's genealogy. He's never listed in the genealogy of Adam. Ever. Three times. Genesis, Chronicles, Book of Luke. No, he's not. Then you go to, oh, where's the answer for that? The Bible answers every logical and moral objection known to mankind. The Bible contains its own glossary, obviously. God's not the author of confusion. Genesis 3:15. I'll put enmity between your seed line, Satan, and the seed of the woman. Okay, and then he has Cain and the Kenites. And watch that thread of the Kenites run through the Bible, just like a clothesline, airing out the dirty laundry on these vagabonds, practicing curious arts, busybodies. They're highly motivated. What did they become? They became entertainers. And they set up worship. What was Satan doing when he was created in the full pattern of beauty and wisdom in the highest supernatural order, walking about on the throne of God? He was in charge of worship of God. And then he thought, hey, you know what? He's looking at all God's children, all of us, Job 38:7, all of us shouting out, singing for joy. The whole human family in totality, we're called stars, bright shining life forces, stars, angels, we're the clouds of witnesses. It's all the same. It's us. It's me and you shouting out for joy and infinite felicity, the whole human family in totality. Satan's like this. I'm gonna just change a few things here. I'm going to challenge God's sovereignty. And then you go to Isaiah chapter 14. He thinks he's going to be God, this fallen star, Lucifer. He thinks he's going to be star. Go to Numbers 24, where we talk about the Kenites and we talk about the star of Jacob, our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the scepter of Israel, the star of Jacob. That is the first advent, the scepter of Israel. He's coming back for his children. Romans chapter 9. Who is an Israelite? Don't Google it. Let the Bible tell you. Romans chapter 9. It's us that adopt ourselves back into God's family, who you trust God, you love God, all your, see, remember in Matthew 22:37, all the commandments hinge on these two: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets, right there. That's what God's expecting of us. I don't think that's too much. But people love themselves. It's called egotism. It's called self-pride. That's what was found in Satan. In Isaiah chapter 14, he thinks he's going to be the God Most High. And he has all his little warriors. Who do you allow to seed a train of thought into your psyche, your spirit, the intellect of your soul? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14, if I can find it. And Isaiah chapter 14, we're talking about these vagabonds. And who's their leader? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. This is Lucifer. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, God's bright shining life forces, all his children. I will sit upon the mount of the congregations in the side of the north. This is what Satan thinks. He thinks he's going to be God. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Look at the glossary. Links in here. Clouds of witnesses. I will be like the Most High. And then God says these epic words. Epic. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. What do you mean sides of the pit? Because God's going to mop him up in a bucket and slosh him down there for what he did. But we played into it. We are the one third. And let's go back even farther on this thread. We talk about Numbers 24. Hey, we know the curse on Cain. You're going to be... all your longings and wantings are going to rule over you. You're going to enter into a system called the rat race. The rat race sees no humanity in the human being whatsoever. It's a perpetual chase for shiny things so you can outdo your neighbors. And you have to be brutally honest with yourself. What are you chasing? Are you ever going to find happiness? Even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. Look at the mega rich. It's never good enough. They have jets, islands, you name it. Yachts, it's not always longing and wanting. No inner peace. Money can't buy respect, manners, morals. It can't improve your character, your self-worth. It's just phony. You can't buy integrity, class. What can you buy? Pleasure. Soon to be outdated, shiny things. That's what, you know, that's the definition of insanity. And if you want to see that on a street level, just watch a method. I have lots of experience trying to help these people. I don't anymore, so I'm doing this. But they would have all these shiny things they'd be obsessed over. I said, this is no different than those people going to their unsatisfying jobs, living lives of quiet desperation in the pursuit of shiny things that are built with a planned obsolescence. It will never fill that inner void. You'll never find an inner peace, ever. And you can't buy salvation. I don't know, people with money think money can buy their opinion and status. It was like it happened during that recent thing. People that I love, I was saying, okay, I've been studying quite a bit, and they looked at me and it's, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. We called our lawyer. These are people I love dearly. And he has made, I'm quoting this, millions and millions of dollars. Yeah, doing what? Casting doubt on the truth. And they took his opinion and went and rolled up their sleeve for it and then had a stroke. This is crazy. This is crazy. People think money buys so many things. Trust and common sense and character. And it's the saddest thing. That's the curse on Cain. And then we go, where are these people? Look what they became. Musicians, worshipers, putting on a big show, getting into the churches. They went to Numbers 24. And God said in Numbers 24, through Balaam, who was an enchanter himself, but God used him. So listen, the curse on Cain, they're going to try and hide in a rock. They're going to be there, but I'm watching. I know who they are. They're the tares of Matthew chapter 13. They walk amongst us to gain trust. God says, you can't tell who they are until the very end. The angels are the reapers. They can all repent. That's why when we find one, phony worshipers, we can't touch them because all can repent. And that thread that runs right up to Revelation 2:9-3:9 through John 8:44. You're of your father, the devil, and Revelation 2:9-3:9, the only two churches that pass, Smyrna and Philadelphia, and those names in themselves have a deeper meaning, but we'll just leave it at that. Synagogue of Satan. They say they are Jews, but they are not. They're phonies. Okay, they're not of Brother Judah. Okay, so that's what we have. They're vagabonds. They're not just going... Okay, so my point is, they're not hanging out behind strip malls, going through garbage cans. Look at the genealogy of Cain. They became musicians and entertainers because there's a curse on them. I'm going to curse the ground you can't farm, but you can own it and you can commodify everything. You can be the middleman. Ooh, this is really opening things up here. That's what the Bible says. They became Rechabites in Jeremiah chapter 35. And then in Ezra and Nehemiah, remember Jeremiah 35, read the last verse. You don't want to stand in front of me, God's saying. You're phonies, acting holier than thou. Oh, we don't drink alcohol. Ooh, no. Those were the Rechabites. They were the Kenites. And Moses' father-in-law was not a Kenite. He lived in the land of the Kenites, and I've documented that too many times. I don't have time today. Lived in the land of the Kenites. What did they do? Look at Jeremiah 35, explains Ezra and Nehemiah. Who are these people that came back? These of the curious arts, these busybodies, highly motivated, extremely intelligent, lots of money at their disposal. Who are these vagabonds? And what else do they call them? Fugitives. Fugitive vagabonds is pretty much the same word. Once, doesn't matter. Vagabonds. Oh yeah, they're called fugitive vagabonds in the book of Genesis. Who are these people? I shouldn't have turned the page. I just lost my train of thought. Anyways, there you have it. The vagabonds, curious arts, wander. They're in the churches now, putting on a big religious show because that was Satan's job as the covering cherub. He was the lead musician. Do you see? Oh, I know what I was going to say. When you see the genealogy of Cain, do you see all the musical instruments in there? Yeah, they can commodify things. They're entertainers, musicians. What is an actor in the manuscripts? A hypocrite, a play actor. That's what hypocrite means. And they get on the TV and they tell us stuff. They get on the screens. Oh, geez. Jesus Christ told us all things. He told us. He gave us the seals, trumps, and vials. It's so easy to understand. Once you get these deeply ingrained habits of thought out of your mind, because what did Satan do? He defiled the sanctuary. That is the seminaries. And he comes in here, and how does he attack the word of God? By sugarcoating it. Ezekiel chapter 13, I have my outstretched arms, and look what you do. You put all these doilies on. That's just sugarcoating it. And I'm against those who teach my children to fly to save their soul, because that's what they taught me as a little kid and my family. And guess what we did? Oh, we don't have to. We're just going to fly out of here. We got the reverend, which is forbidden in the Bible to call yourself reverend. It's one of God's seven spirits that we cannot infringe on, reverence. Psalms 111. Reverend is my name, God says. That's my name. The ephod, that dress thing they wear with the book of Hosea. When you see that, when you see an ephod, they're a phony. They come into my house, my parents' house, when I was a little kid. You're going to fly away, boy. You're going to fly away. Know what we did? What do you want to watch on TV? We're going to fly away. Just put that there. Here's the Bible I was actually carrying with all my little kids' handwriting. You're going to rapture out of here. Is the word rapture in here? No. What about Acts or 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? If you do not understand 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I would suggest it's on the same page, actually. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Could not explain it more. We endure to the end, over and over and over. Matthew 10, Matthew 24, we endure to the end. Here's the list of events going down. It's seals, trumps, files. It's the easiest thing. Now, the seals, trumps, files have materialized and harmonized and culminated into the fifth. As we're living, the sixth intensifies, escalates. We went from a pandemic or an infodemic. They control information through censorship and obsessive messaging. And when people don't have a consistent thought pattern, a standard principle set of beliefs, which is only found in this book right here, the greatest book ever written, the most printed book on planet Earth, the best-selling book on planet Earth, then you're dead in the water. And people just villainize it. Have you ever noticed people villainize this? Who taught them to villainize something when they only have scraps of information about something? To just delegitimize, point fingers, laugh at others. Who does that? Mainstream media does that. We learn that in schools. We go to church and I'm sitting in school, it's grade 5, and I'm looking out and I can see steeples everywhere, but the teacher's telling me it was evolution. So I'm saying, what, all those steeples are based on a lie? All the churches are based on a lie? And then you go to the church and they try and tell you that the earth was created in 6 days, 6,000 years ago. I went to school and we went to a museum and I saw dinosaur bones. Who's lying to me? Who is lying to me? And then you got a pedophile for a hockey coach. It's like, okay, here you go. Now you're 18 years old. Go out. You have no principled set of beliefs, but don't you conform, Michael. You conform to rich white men. Impossible. It was impossible for me. Impossible. Then got caught up in the psychiatric industry. Just impossible. Curious arts. Many of them which use curious arts. That would be today the psychiatrist book of Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. That book. It's nothing but curious arts. It's called the DSM. They only have a few mental disorders in that DSM that have a clear biological cause. Okay, those are like organic disorders, like let's say Alzheimer's or Huntington's or something like that. Okay, but no biological markers have been identified or discovered in over 95% of these alleged mental health diagnostics that they have over 400. Mental illnesses in this book with no biological markers. Psychiatry names the disorder before any pathological roots have been discovered or disclosed, and then they make up a pill for it. So they have a book like this with over 400 mental disorders, diseases, and none of them have any biological markers, but they have a pill for them all. And these doctors, who funds the doctors? Who funds it? These curious arts, who funds them? Big Pharma, they make billions and billions of dollars. It wiped out 25 years of my life. It took 5 years after I found out what was happening to me for substance clearance to occur before I could even think about natural restoration of function, even think about genetic potential or genetic enhancement. You want the proof? I'll show you the proof. You go on YouTube and you can see videos of me and Tammy back in 2014, 2015. I'm struggling to teach the Bible. Struggling. Just like trying so hard. We made lots of videos. And now, that's the difference. That's what those psych meds do. The curious arts. And brought other books together. And burned them before all men. That Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. God's going to burn that damn thing. And then what did psychiatry, or what did the Big Pharma do? I'm like, how did this ever make the best-selling list in the New York Times? The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for psychiatry, for mental diseases? How's that even possible? Who would buy this stupid thing? Pharma, Big Pharma bought it. and circumvented the psychiatric industry and took it to all the GPs, the general practitioners all over Canada and the United States. They bought them all, so many of them, it became the bestseller. So now general practitioners can go, oh, this person presents like this. Well, everybody gets emotionally distressed, and it takes cognitive and a principled set of beliefs and time to talk about things. You can't talk to somebody who's got a death grip on a remote control watching TV. You can't talk to someone who is trying to project their anger onto you. Oh, I don't like this dialogue. So you're just so angry. Let's pump some psychiatric meds into you for the next 20 years and just destroy your life. And then we're going to go back and say, wow, that was just a horrible 20 years, little Mikey. Yeah, thank you very much. Have a great day and bye for now. It's time to move on. You forgive everybody. There's no pointing fingers. People get emotionally distressed. They have to talk about things and think about things. You have to be there for people. That's what the many-member body of Christ is. Burn those books. Burn them together. And they burn them before all men, and they count the price of them was about 50,000 pieces of silver. That's not ATM money. That's not your monthly budget. That's hockey bag money. That's a lot, man. That is significant. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Yeah, as soon as you get that, the lies, the truth is always there. But they'll smokescreen the lie, and they'll smokescreen the truth and sting you with lies. After these things were ended, Paul purpose in spirit, he said his prayers, and he passed through Macedonia and Achaia and go to Jerusalem, saying, I want to go to Jerusalem. After I've been there, I must also see Rome. So Paul's obviously seen his travel agent. No, he prayed. He prayed to the Spirit. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timothy, say, shout out, Book of Timothy 1 and 2, and Aristus, he's in Romans, and Timothy, shout out for him. Imagine these guys having their names in the most printed book, the best-selling book on planet Earth, but also the least translatable book into the English. Sorry, someone complained about me yelling into the microphone. I need one of those things in front, I guess. Least translatable books into the English. And at the same time, there was no small stir about the way. Hey, they're creating it. The people are paying attention, right? For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines. What is this? This guy's a tradesman. He's a silver, makes stuff. Keychain trinkets. Is it when you got a keychain, and is it a trinket or a trinklet? He made from trinkets or trinkets to large statues. He was a tradesman, okay? All right. There he is. For Diana. Okay, who's this Diana? She's that deity with all the boobies. Like, can you imagine how much marijuana would you have to sit around and smoke before you're sitting there going, we got to make up another god. Let's just fill her just with boobies. Dude, yo, that's boss, man. Let's do that. That's pimp. And they did it. And they all worshipped. Just Diana with all the boobies. Brought no small gain into the craftsmen. Oh, yeah, they were making all these little trinkets, and statues. How big a statue you want for your house? And people say this all the time. I don't have a statue in my house. I'm not guilty of idolatry. We don't have a statue in our house. Your house is a statue, and who is the ideologies behind it? Who is the statue, really? Look at yourself in the mirror. There's your statue. There's I believe in myself. All my ideologies should be the gold standard for how we govern ourselves, and look at the mess. Mankind is 100% failure rate at governing ourselves. And God's trying to show us that. Hey, you come back to me, back to a place of peace beyond your present comprehension, a place of unity, a place of perpetual friendship. Can you imagine being in a place where you can look across and see hundreds and thousands, even however many people will be able to see, when we're in our spiritual body, that closed energy system that cannot be created or destroyed, cannot exchange physical matter. We're there, and you can trust every single one of them. None of them has malicious intent behind them. None of them say, what's in it for me? How can I use this person for my benefit? Can you imagine? We can't even comprehend what heaven is like at this very moment. But we can start to think and meditate on it. And other people with their ideologies that don't like these ideologies here, the most only principled set of beliefs, the only consistent thought pattern, you can take your ideologies to the lake of fire. Lake of fire simply means harbor or haven, and fire is Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 9, James chapter 3, the internal passion of the mind. You can't get over yourself. You can't get over, you know, when you're arguing with someone and you feel burning up inside, Well, that's what people with their ideologies do. They've conceived it. Woe unto those with child who give suck in those days, Matthew 24:19. And your glossary link for that is Proverbs 7, verse 14 and 15. You've conceived inside you ideologies, and you're nursing along this doctrine, and you can't get over it. You can't be corrected at all. People today think their feelings and preferences determine what's true. They can't be corrected. Everything, when you're talking to people, they think everything's an argument. Wisdom is a process of understanding your intuitions were wrong. We're all here for correction. So here's Diana, no small gain. This craftsmen were raking in the Ben Franklins and the Andrew Jacksons all day long. Hockey bags of money, we're talking here. Whom he called together with a workman of like occupation and said, "Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth." Was this a Better Business Bureau? I guess so. Moreover, or is this a union meeting? Who cares? Moreover, you see and hear not that alone in Ephesus, but also throughout all Asia, that Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods that are made with the hands. Hey, we're making these gods, these little trinkets. Hey, go worship this. It's not the god itself. It's not the statue itself. It's the ideologies behind the statue. Like I just tried to say, most people say, "I don't have a statue in my house." It is. It's looking right back at you from the mirror. Okay? Ideologies. But they would put this here. It would be Diana with like boobies galore, and they would worship it. Obviously, the moral decay of society was happening back then. Also, you can see a pattern of the end of empires, and we're watching it. Unfortunately, in the United States of America, the end of an empire, obviously, and the great people of America are just at the mercy of this most corrupt government. It's called the Assyrians in the Bible, most dangerous, destructive, destabilizing force on planet Earth today. And it's run by criminals. And you get what's coming to you. I want to say something more about these criminals in the United States. You think about this and be very careful where your investment portfolio has money, because God says in the book of Ezekiel, those warmongers and anybody that supported it have a special place in hell. You know, Satan just gets thrown in hell. He's down to the sides of the pit because God's going to mop him up in a bucket. But it says the warmongers are at the bottom of hell in the book of Ezekiel. That's Gregory Hayes from Raytheon when he's sitting there saying, before the war in Ukraine, before the war, or before anything in Taiwan, he's sitting there at the New York Stock Exchange with all those snakes in suits saying, big smile, ding, 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 ding. I see great opportunity for gain in the shareholders, my people. Tensions over in Ukraine and in the South China Sea, and they just whoop, whoop, whoop. 400,000 bombs and missiles since 2001. $7 trillion from the Pentagon into Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Northrop Grumman. These merchants of death. Boeing. And the other one. Northrop Grumman has Katie there for the CEO. She's just beaming. Beaming. Well, enjoy your money now, Katie. Because you're going down to a place in hell that is so deep, you ain't never getting out. We pray for you now. Pray for the whole human family. The warmongers, God hates. He just hates them. Anyways, here we go. They had wealth from setting up these ideologies. Moreover, you see in here, not alone in Ephesus, okay, Paul's turning everybody away. This is our craft is in danger. Okay, this is our bread and butter here, and this guy's cutting in on it. But also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, who all Asia and the world worshipeth. Again, like today, just follow the money. There's a financial interest in the outcome, and they don't care about the ideologies behind it. And when they had heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Greatest Diana of Ephesus." Okay, we got a mob scene brewing here, and the whole city was filled with confusion. We got a riot happening. Confusion. Not certainty. Confusion. What are we doing? We're just yelling and screaming about anything here? Uh-huh. And they caught Gaius and Artetius, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions. Oh, so they didn't catch Paul. They caught Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's companions in travel, and they rushed with one accord into the theater. Mob scene. Let's just grab anybody. We got to villainize anybody here, right? And when Paul would have entered into the people, the disciples say, "Hey, don't go in there, man. This is an obscene mob scene. They're looking to lynch somebody. Watch out." And certain of the chief of Asia, which was his friend, sent unto him, desiring that he would not adventure in himself. Just stay out of this. There's no reasoning with people who are full of hatred. There's no reasoning when people let their feelings compromise their intelligence and they get together as a mob scene. Some therefore cried one thing and some another. They don't even know what they're angry about. Hey, is this happening on the world stage today? Obviously. And the assembly was confused. The more part knew not wherefore they come to. They don't even know why they're there. We just want to hate somebody and villainize somebody because we need that feeling of empowerment. We want to get up on our moral high horse here. And we just want to humiliate and villainize, lie against somebody to make ourselves feel better because we don't have Jesus Christ in our hearts. We don't have the love of Christ in our hearts. Therefore, we have an inner void. We try and put money in there. We try and put hatred in there, pointing fingers in there, an unrest, a worry, a lack of fulfillment. Only Jesus Christ can be your fulfiller. Only Jesus Christ can take you away from this uncertainty to certainty. He is your rock, your only stability, your only certainty, your fortress, your high tower, your only stability, your only security, safety. Jesus Christ, he is your shepherd. You shall not want another. Your good shepherd, your great shepherd. He is your only shepherd. He laid down his life for your life. Just try and comprehend that. For a little urchin like me, are you kidding me? I'm just overwhelmed. I'm living on borrowed time. It all belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ to serve him and to serve our human family, God's children, all my brothers and sisters need to hear the message of Christ's love. So whatever God-given talent you have, he expects you to use it in the many-membered body of Christ to help get the word of God out there to help glorify, magnify, and broadcast God's saving word. And look at these people. This is what's going on the world stage today. Confusion. They don't even know why they're assembled. They're just protesting against anything. You know, these scientists will come up with whatever. Remember about scientists. There's some good ones out there, obviously, but they get villainized when they want to tell the truth. But 99% of scientists agree with who's ever funding them. Look at my white lab coat and see that snake and suit there? He's writing the checks. Oh, yeah, I'm just balling it, man. Look at my driveway, the hardware in my driveway. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with his hand. Yo, okay, you guys going to take a chill? Would have made it a defense. But when they knew he was a Jew, they freaked out and made a scene, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours. Wow, they got nothing better to do to sit there for 2 hours. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Look at all her boobies. And when the town clerk, this is the guy that's writing all this down for 2 hours. Okay, imagine him writing down the minutes for 2 hours. 2 hours, okay, at 2:01 p.m., they're yelling out, great is Diana. At 2:02 p.m., again, they did that for 2 hours. Are you kidding? Okay, anyways, he gets sick of it after 2 hours, the town clerk, and appeased the people and said, you men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of Ephesus is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? We all know this to be true, right? We just villainize everybody else. It's like saying we all know evolution is true, right? Right? And just villainize anyone who doesn't understand that there's God executes performances far beyond our current understanding of physics. They don't understand the simplest things, like where did all the water come from for the Ice Age? They don't understand the simplest things, like, oh, science really relies on interpretations of incomplete sets of evidence, but we can manipulate the data, and we can add observation or limit the observation, and then we can say like this, like, I say to you, well, if evolution were true, there would have to be an infinite array of fossils and remains at every minute stage of transition from the single cell to all the species we see now and all the species that have come and gone. What about where did all the water come from for the Ice Age? And all this is answered on page one of your Bible. But no, we can get people thinking otherwise. This goddess came down from Jupiter. And I always wonder about this. Jupiter, Neptune mentioned in the Bible. Like, as far as, like, evolution, like, adaptation is not evolution. Like, mankind goes from the canoe to the ocean liner, from throwing rocks at each other to nuclear weapons and whatever, man. That's adaptation. So, like, we got adapted all the way up to Gilligan's Island and still only had a piece of bamboo to look up in the sky. How did they see these stars and stuff like that? Well, you go back to page one of the Bible and you'll understand. There's a thread that goes through Psalms chapter 19. We're not going to get into that now, but there was definitely divine intervention going on. Learn about the Sphinx in the Bible and everything. Oh, you'll never hear these things from mainstream pulpits. Seeing then that they cannot, these things cannot be spoken against. Hey, don't speak against what we believe in, right? These deeply ingrained habits of thought, eh? You know, you're gonna run into your ego. You can't communicate at all because you think everything's an argument. You think everything's an attack as soon as it's against what you think is true. Never attempt to deify another person. Don't cast your pearls before swine. And don't get into vain arguments. If they want to believe that their goddess fell from Jupiter, like fell, and has all these boobies, then go ahead. But you have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of the churches nor blasphemers of your goddess. They just say, wherefore it is Demetrius. If Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open. Hey, let's go by the law here. Let's get some civil law going here instead of this obscene mob scene. And their deputies, let them impede one another. Okay, let's do this properly. Let's go through the channels. We have a system. We have a process here. But if any inquire anything concerning other matters, it should be determined in a lawful assembly. Okay, you're going to get arrested. You're going to go to jail. You're not going to get any bail. You're going to have to poop in a pail. And then you're going to have to find a lawyer. Hey, duty counsel, can you help me out here? Get me out of here, right? There's a process. And we are in danger to be called in question for today's uproar because there's no cause for it whereby we may give an account for this concourse. Like, we're going to get in trouble for this, man. If you guys just want to riot and mob and start lighting stuff on fire all down the streets, there's going to be a problem. Okay? It's going to end up being martial law. All right? So watch out about your behavior. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. Go home. Go find something else to do. Go play somewhere else. Okay, I want to thank you very much for watching. I want you to have yourself a great day. Please consider the Companion Chapel. Thank you for the people that are donating. It's such a big deal. The emails and donations all go to God's purposes. I'm not going to increase my lifestyle, and I can prove that. You can come here anytime. You email me. I'll give you the address. You can probably easy to find the address. Basic necessities of life, my nutritional environmental requirements, get covered, and everything goes to trying to promote God's word, which I'm not good at because this is my job. This is my spot in the many member body of Christ. It's like looking at Pastor Al Murray back in the 90s. This was his spot, but how did he get on TV? How did he get that TV time at 3 in the morning, which saved me by he introduced me to the truth at 3 o'clock in the morning, staring up at the ceiling. TV's on, some crappy black and white TV with three channels just plugged into the wall. All of a sudden, I heard Pastor Al Murray, 1996, something like that. Right away, I jumped up and just started writing down what he was saying. He was teaching the book of Ezekiel. I'll never forget it. I said, I've been waiting to hear the truth for so long. It's like Pilate, what is the truth, Jesus Christ? Am I a Jew? Am I hostile to you and your followers? Pilate says, what is the truth then? Jesus Christ is perfect in righteousness, perfect in trustworthiness. He is the perfect truth. And the truth is the great separating force between right and wrong, good and evil, and heaven and hell. How did Pastor Arnold Murray get from a kitchen table to having that big satellite dish and a bunch of people around him? Because people paid into it. It's those people that saved my life. They get the same rewards as Pastor Arnold Murray, as the people that are paying into this so we can get the message of Christ's love out to a hurting world. Whatever you can help me out with. You're not helping me improve my lifestyle. I'm trying to get the word out to someone just like me back in 1996, staring up at the ceiling. I had to look up to see hell back then. Why am I even still alive? I'm living on borrowed time. It's all up to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's up to you. Help glorify, magnify, and broadcast God's saving word. CompanionChapel.com. There's a donate button there. And CompanionChapel@gmail.com. Sometimes people send me checks out here. If you want the address, just email me, companionchapel@gmail.com. I want to thank you very much for watching. Love you to pieces. Have yourself the greatest day, and bye for now.